coming to you not exactly live from...
The Cliffs of Insanity!
Don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
That international man of geekery, that intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
You have chosen wisely.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
You, boy, are arrogant, hot-tempered, entirely too bold.
I like that. Reminds me of me.
And now, Indiana Jim.
Are you listening to this fellow? May I remind you, he's wearing a costume, not a uniform.
I have entertained in all the courts of Europe and speak a ready wit in their every tongue.
I told you I was famous.
Hello again, Crusaders. This is Indiana Jim, and welcome back to another episode of The Writing Crusade. And good little topic today. Something interesting happened to me a little while ago, which was really peculiar. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. And I've titled this kind of a funny thing happened to me on the way to generating momentum in my writing. And I was taking my own advice about working on a different project. And this isn't really my advice, but rather some common advice you will hear from a lot of writers at any level. I dove back into a work in progress that really was no more than a chapter and 9/10 on a project. It was one I've done a lot of thinking and pondering about, and that is a pulp-style adventure about pirates on airships in a dystopian future, sort of Pirates of the Caribbean meets Bioshock Infinite, where every city is a city in the clouds. And how did we get there, and what's that like? Another big influence was the work of Alex White. Now, he wrote The Gearheart and the spinoff, The Maiden Flight of the Avenger. And what I want to do is I want to build a long-running series of shorter novels that really emphasize the action, the adventure, the humor, and the spirit of the pulps. But it's also going to have a definitive arc to it. If I may, dare I invoke the word Firefly here, and permit me a moment of digression. Now, I am, for sure, a brown coat until the day I die, and I wasn't for a long time until after they released the Serenity movie, I rediscovered the TV series, and suddenly it all began to make sense. So, after watching Serenity, so now, when I watch the TV series, I can identify more and more with the emotional resonances that Joss Whedon is trying to evoke with the viewer. Now, you can draw a line from the pilot to the movie and find a definitive arc for all the characters. Even Jane experiences growth from his experiences in the episodes Janestown and Ariel. It was episodic, but without missing the finer points of a larger arc. Unlike, say, the action serials of the 80s, like The A-Team, or Airwolf, or stuff like that. Now, before you think I'm going to launch into a big bring-back Firefly rant, I'm not. I found it real easy to join with other brown coats and feel bad that there was no more Firefly, that Fox screwed it up from the beginning, and recognize the huge grassroots cult following the show has, and lament everything and pine away for it. Well, then I realized, if I wasn't going to get more Firefly, then I should create the next Firefly. And I realize a lot of people have tried and failed. Battlestar Galactica did a lot, but really took it to a completely different place. It wasn't campy anymore. That concept of turning Star Trek on its head, as Ronald Moore did, saying instead it would be a crew of the rejects that have to save humanity. These are the people that are left after you get through all the good folks. You know, this is the Commander Adama, who's relegated to the museum piece because they've taken him out of, you know, an active military role. It's Colonel Ty, who's the XO, who's a drunk. And you got Starbuck, who's the best pilot in the Galactica's unit, but she's a malcontent and a troublemaker. So Firefly was very similar to that idea, but more with a wink and a nudge to it. They don't have to save humanity. They're just trying to get to the next job. So rather than, well, basically everything I love, I'm trying to bring back in some way. And I think we all as writers do that. We're all putting in the elements of those things that speak to us and inspire us. And we try to give ourselves more of that. We're trying to evoke that reaction in ourselves and by extension, the reader. So if that makes sense, hopefully it does. Rather than try to shoehorn Firefly into something, though, I had to wait for the right inspiration to strike because you don't want to shoehorn stuff. You just, because people can tell what you're doing. But it kind of struck in a big way. So without any pressure to do anything except have fun, that's the first hint, okay? I went to the very point that I left off, and in a fit of inspiration, I gender flipped the first mate. All of a sudden, it's Zoe. And everything starts to make sense. Everything starts to progress off of that. Now, she's not a carbon copy of Zoe, but very similar. The captain of the crew even quotes Wash in a perfectly sensible fashion, not a shoehorn fashion. Suddenly, I started to see where the sensibilities of Firefly fits into this story. So all the qualities that fed my image of the Knaves, which is the gang led by Jack Wilgris in the Wars novellas that I wrote. Even knowing that I wasn't likely to spend any more time in Jack's world fed into what I was looking for into this story. Now, this is a concept that I recently learned from Dean Wesley Smith, and not real recently. I've heard him talk about it a lot. But it never, I couldn't put it into practice until this recent moment. So getting back to the topic. This is the concept of letting go of your conscious editor brain and unleashing your subconscious creative brain. It never really made sense to me. I couldn't really put my finger on, well, how do you do this on a practical level? It's very obscure, very weird. I don't know how to do it. I don't know, how does this work? Understood the concept, but I didn't understand the way to get there. But once I gave myself permission to just have fun with it, like, hey, she's Zoe. That's cool. Let's make it, how do we make it like Firefly? How do we make it like Jack Wilgris and the Knaves? How do I go back to that place where there wasn't any pressure? It was just, hey, this is cool. So once I gave myself permission to have fun, the whole thing opened up to me. I started throwing in everything that made me happy, that makes me excited, that makes me laugh, without a care in the world from where it comes from. From where it comes from. Yeah, that's a really good, I am writer, me is good with English. What happens when you get into this state is that your subconscious just kind of distills all of those disparate experiences into one voice, your voice. Now, your editor voice is going to tell you some of the same things that it told me. You're not as fun as Gore Verbinski and Jerry Bruckheimer. You're not as stylish as Bioshock. You don't know enough about steampunk. What's wrong with you? Firefly? Get over Firefly! It's never coming back! Joss Whedon is a genius, but you're really pretentious, aren't you? Really? You think you can follow in his footsteps? The crew of Firefly? Seriously? Are you really doing steampunk here? Because this isn't steampunk enough. That's not funny. That argument between the characters isn't funny. This is so derivative. No one will read this. Bruh, Jim Butcher just did the exact same thing. People are going to call you a copycat. You must learn to shut off your editor voice. And it is so hard to do. And Dean always said it was. I believed him, you know, because I couldn't figure it out. But suddenly, it just happened. And I think when it's time, it will happen for you, but you have to work on giving yourself permission to let it happen. You have to want this thing to happen. You have to want to say no to your editor brain. You have to want to release your creative subconscious brain. If you want it, give yourself permission. It's going to happen. Now, Dean says a few things all the time that have sort of become a mantra. And by the way, if you want to give your subconscious something to chew on, if you find, look up Dean Wesley Smith on YouTube, watch the Essentials Workshop videos. Now, these things are great fodder for your brain to mull over. And it really kind of helped me understand the concept better. But these mantra things are like things that he says all the time. Writing is not hard. What's wrong with me? So many people whine about it, but it's not hard. He says, I sit in front of a computer and make stuff up. Digging a ditch is hard. Okay. Here's another one. I do what's fun. If it's not fun, then I don't write it. And here's another one. This was really helpful for me. I write for an hour and then I get up and move around for 5 or 10 minutes. Then I come back and I write for another hour. You know, I don't have to bang my head against the wall for this huge sustained period of time, and neither do you. You can be a prolific writer just by putting the time in when you can. So in the spots of free time you can find. And we don't need to guilt trip ourselves. Because when we start guilt tripping ourselves, then writing's not fun anymore. Because we're introducing the feeling of guilt. Oh, I haven't done enough. Oh, I feel so guilty. And we create this experience in our minds where we create this state. Let's go Tony Robbins on this, okay? He always talks about being in a beautiful state. So how do you put yourself in a rotten state? By feeling guilty. And there's no reason for you to feel guilty. It's all arbitrary. There is no authority over you saying you must write this many hours and you must complete this, except you. Now, we have deadlines, and it's up to us to figure out when the time is that we're going to work, and we have to put in the work, and we have to meet the deadline. But guilt is a horrible, horrible emotion, a horrible state to live in surrounding your writing. And I can't believe I just figured this out. What? I feel so guilty. And so I have to sit in the chair. But when guilt puts you in the chair, that's no fun. Is it? No, it's not fun at all. What other emotions? Angry? You can get angry at yourself. Oh, I haven't written today. Oh, I'm so mad. Anger's not going to keep you in the chair. It might make you think, gosh, I have to do this. Desperation. I got to pay my bills. I got to do this for a career. This is what I want to do. Pressure. So much pressure. You've got to put yourself in the state where it's fun. And if you feel guilty, go watch a fun movie that you love, that inspires you. Once you're done watching that, then go sit in the writing chair. Get yourself out of the state of mind where you're guilty, where you're angry, where you're frustrated, all these negative emotions. If you feel negative emotions surrounding your writing, you've got to do something to clear your head. Maybe you need counseling. It's cool. Go find a psychiatrist. They can help. And here's one last comparison. And we all make excuses. One of the most prolific writers in the business, this is Dean Wesley Smith again. He's a hunting pecker with, he hunts and pecks with two fingers. Okay. So he's a two finger typist. I type 75 words a minute. So what's my excuse for not being prolific? I got lots of excuses. I'd rather play PlayStation. I don't feel good. I'm tired. I got to clean the house. The kids need dinner, which actually they probably do. All of these things that we make up excuses for why we can't get in the chair and why it's hard. Stop it. That's what I say. Just stop it. It's not worth it, everybody. It's just not worth it. And again, I may have made you feel guilty right there by smacking the table and telling you to stop it. I hope I didn't make you feel guilty. I kind of do. I lied. I kind of do hope I made you feel a little bit guilty. Because guilt motivates us, but that shouldn't be the sole motivation. That should not be the emotional state you feel when it comes to your writing. So close your eyes and just do this for me, okay? Just close your eyes. Not if you're driving. If you're driving, do this later. But close your eyes. Deep breath. When you think about your writing, go to that place where this is my... Picture yourself. You're the writer. Picture your projects. How many you got? 1, 2, 8, 10. I don't care. What do you feel right now when you think about your writing? What are those emotions? Now, every emotion has an equal and opposite emotion. The opposite of sadness, joy. Opposite of anger, or frustration, contentment. You know, what is the opposite of the emotion you're feeling? The opposite of guilt, value. I am a valuable person. Or perhaps permission. I give myself permission not to have to write right now when I feel sick. You know, whatever, or whatever it is. Find the opposite of that emotion. Figure out what that is for you. And then go get it. Go put yourself in the state of mind required to feel positive about what you're doing, because that's the only way to release the weight off your shoulders and off your mind and off your heart, is to get rid of those negative emotions and find the positive ones. So I hope you can do that. And that's my message for this episode. It's quick, it's short. I mean, that's 15 minutes. Now, Dan the Art Man has a really kind of, I want to say it's drawn out, but it's like a blog post. He left a comment and he was like, oh, you know what? This is a blog post. So he put it on his website. But if you go to the post for episode 2, How Do You Write? He has this kind of neat little layout of his process and what works for him. And so if you would like to see that, you can go to episode 2 of mine. But I encourage you to go to his website, dandantheartman.com. And I'll leave a link in the show notes for you to go there to read the post. But a really, really good look at the process for him. And he's a little bit ahead of me. So in his career, in his, you know, how he's doing with independent publishing and all of that. And really, I need to get him on the show probably. And Dan, I know you're listening. How'd you like to be a co-host? I mean, you know, don't like feel obligated, or I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to be in a not beautiful state, but I think it would be cool to have you on and talk a little bit. We'll spitball it a little bit later, but anyway, I just wanted to put that out to you. So if you are out there listening and you feel like sending some feedback, well, how do you do that exactly? Well, I'll tell you. I'm so glad you asked. Go to adventuresofindianajim.net, click on the Writing Crusade, yes, the Writing Crusade, and leave a comment on the blog post for the episode. You can email me at the show, and that is writing@adventuresofindianajim.net. You can Twitter me, I'm on the Tweeters, at Indiana Jim, and I'm in the Facebook and all that stuff. So you go to the website, adventuresofindianajim.net. You can find all my socials there. And I really would love to hear from you. Please send in your feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Love to get your voice on this show. As you can tell, this episode, a little shorter than normal. But hopefully, there was something good in here that really spoke to you. And without any further ado, without any further ado, I bid you adieu, monsieur, and mademoiselle. Bye.